Welcome to another deep dive. We're tackling liver transplantation today.
A very big topic.
It really is. And you, our listeners, sent in a bunch of research about it. Looks like you want to really get into the nitty-gritty of what impacts patients after they have a liver transplant, not just the surface stuff.
Right, because there's a lot more to it than people realize.
Exactly. We've got research papers here, the Regani study. That's about livers doctors almost rejected. Fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we've got Adler and Cow's work. They look at how far kids are living from where they'd get a transplant and what that means for them.
Distance makes a bigger difference than you might think.
It really does, which we'll get into. And to top it off, that chapter from Kirk's textbook on organ transplantation gives us a good base to work with.
Solid foundation.
You know, prepping for this, the thing that jumped out at me, it's not just about being sick enough to need a new liver. So many other things play into it.
Oh, absolutely. Way more than just do your blood types match.
Right. So that's what we're going to unpack today. Let's start with that Regani 2020 study. Livers that were almost rejected, right?
Yep.
This whole thing revolves around a technique, normothermic machine perfusion, NMP. Even the name sounds kind of scary.
A mouthful, for sure.
Can you break that down? What is it? Why is it such a big deal?
Okay, so the name's technical, but picture this. A liver. Docs say it's too messed up to transplant.
Okay, sad little.
Used to be. That was it. Game over. But NMP, it's like a second chance for these livers.
How so?
Think of it like recreating what's going on inside the body artificially. Mm-hmm. You connect this liver to the machine. It pumps warm blood, oxygen, nutrients.
Like giving it a jump start.
Exactly. Like it's working inside a healthy body again. Mm-hmm. And that's what Regani's team found. This NMP thing, it can bring these livers back from the brink.
Wow. So they're good enough to transplant after all.
In some cases, yes. Potentially saving lives. And here's where it gets really interesting.
Okay, hit me with it.
Imagine the possibilities for those long transplant lists. Livers that would have been tossed out, now they might be an option.
Giving organs a second life, almost. Mm-hmm. Amazing. But even with that, some people still wait, right? It made me think of those other studies, Adler and Cow. Distance, how far kids live from transplant centers. That was their focus.
Yeah, geography is a big factor, often overlooked. Adler looked specifically at kids waiting on liver transplants back in 2016. And guess what? Where they lived, it was a matter of life or death.
Wait, seriously? But how? I mean, if you're sick enough for the list, shouldn't it be about that, not where you're located?
You'd think so, right. But kids over 200 miles away from their transplant center, 75% higher risk of dying while waiting.
75%? That's huge.
Yeah.
But you said it's not about actually getting the transplant faster if you're closer.
Right. Exactly. Distance didn't change how long it took to get a transplant once on the list. More about the hurdles of getting care when you're far away.
Okay, so what are those hurdles then, if it's not the organ itself?
Think about it getting referred to the transplant center late, struggling to get to appointments, and the emotional toll. Maybe you have to move your whole family, be near the hospital indefinitely. Tough stuff.
And for families already going through so much, it just adds another layer, doesn't it?
It really does. And get this, what Adler found, it's not just liver transplants. Cow's 2018 research. Same pattern with kids needing kidney transplants.
So this distance thing is across the board, especially for kids.
Seems like it. Cow, even though they were looking at kidneys, right.
Yeah.
Same thing. Distance didn't mean you were less likely to get a transplant, but higher risk of dying on that wait list.
It's like your zip code is working against you on top of everything else.
Yeah, adds a whole other level to an already complicated system. And it makes you wonder, is it really fair? Cow's study, they found something interesting. Lots of kids needing kidney transplants. They were skipping hospitals closer to home.
Really? Why would they do that?
They were going to these high volume centers further away. You know, those hospitals that do a ton of transplants.
Makes sense, I guess. More experience, better outcomes, right? But wouldn't their local doctor have to refer them to a place like that anyway?
You'd assume so. But the fact that families are going out of their way makes you wonder if something else is going on. Like, maybe there are differences in how hospitals refer patients or even accept them.
You mean where you live determines what kind of care you can get?
It's a possibility, and it highlights something really important. We need to make sure everyone has the same chance at these life-saving transplants, no matter where they live.
Right. Because even with the best intentions, sometimes things don't shake out fairly. We've talked about location, this amazing NMP technology, but there's more to it, right? You shared that chapter from Kirk's book, the one about organ transplantation.
Yeah, the 2014 one.
What stuck out to you from that?
Well, it reminded me that even though organ transplants are amazing, they're not a magic cure. Getting a transplant changes your life, but how things go long term, it depends. A lot of factors.
Yeah, I guess it's easy to forget. There's a long road after surgery. So what plays into those long term results?
Age is a big one. You hear people say older patients don't get transplants, but Kirk, he talks about successful transplants in people over 70 even.
Wow, that's incredible. Medicine's come a long way. But that brings up tough questions. Like, if organs are so rare, how do doctors choose who gets one?
Really complex ethical stuff. It's not as simple as age either. Got to think about the original disease, why they needed the transplant in the first place. Kirk says liver cancer patients, they do really well at first, better than other patients. But after 5-10 years, their survival rates drop.
So what you needed the transplant for, it can come back to haunt you even years later.
In a way. Along with other things, of course. Overall health, lifestyle choices, even their weight, their BMI.
Makes me think about that part in Kirk's book. He talks about obesity and how it affects transplant outcomes.
Right. If you're obese, any big surgery is riskier, transplants too. Lots of times, it's because being obese goes hand in hand with other health problems, makes recovering harder.
Can't just look at one thing in isolation, can you? It's the whole picture.
Absolutely. Every single person is different.
Speaking of different, we got to talk about living donors. Kirk talks about them too. Amazing, someone giving up part of their own liver to save somebody.
Incredibly generous. And like Kirk says, it's becoming more common, which makes sense, right? Living donor means less waiting, maybe even surviving long enough to get a transplant at all.
Yeah, but I bet there are even more ethical things to consider when it's a living person donating.
Oh, for sure. You're giving someone a chance to live, maybe their only chance, but you're also asking a healthy person to have major surgery, knowing there could be complications. All for someone else.
Life-changing decision for everyone involved.
Absolutely. And that's why it's so important for the donor to know everything, all the risks, short-term, long-term, before they make that choice.
Lots to think about. Sadly, sometimes, even with everything we know, things still go wrong. Kirk mentions retransplantation when the first one fails.
Happens. Rejection is a real risk. And when you need a second transplant, more hurdles. Yeah. Survival rates are lower the second time around.
Why is that? Wouldn't doctors know more after the first transplant?
You'd hope so, but think about it. A retransplant patient, they've already had major surgery. They've been on those powerful drugs to prevent rejection, but those drugs also lower your immunity. So they're starting from a weaker position, more likely to get infections. Plus, the chance of the body rejecting the new organ, it's even higher the second time.
Wow, talk about an uphill battle.
It's tough for everyone, medically, ethically. Because someone needs a second chance, but someone else is waiting for their first. How do you decide what's fair?
Trying to balance things out, never easy.
Exactly. And that's where all these new technologies, like that NMP we talked about, they could be game changers. More organs available means fewer retransplants needed. It all ties together.
Like every piece of this puzzle is connected. From where you live, to how your body handles the transplant, to those really tough ethical choices.
It is a complex web. But we have to understand it if we want to make things better for transplant patients.
I'll be honest, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed with all this info.
It's a lot to take in, that's for sure. But the good news is, things are always changing in the transplant world. New tech, better surgeries, and we're getting better at thinking about the ethics of it all.
That is good to hear. But it makes you realize, we need to be having these conversations, right? More we understand about this whole transplant thing, the better we can speak up for patients, make sure the system's actually fair.
100%. People need to know what's going on. Regular folks, sure, but also the people making decisions. Doctors, politicians, everyone involved.
You got it. Well, this deep dive, it's given me a lot to think about. This crazy technology, NMP, all those ethical questions. Where you live playing such a big role. Liver transplants, it's way more than just the surgery, isn't it?
It really is. We've covered a lot, but honestly, we're just scratching the surface here. It's a field that never sits still.
Yeah, always changing. But for everyone listening, I hope this has given you a better picture of what's really going on. It's easy to get caught up in those news stories about medical miracles, but...
Right, there's always more to it.
Exactly. If you take one thing away from today... Remember how important informed consent is?
Huge.
We talked about it with living donors, but it's just as crucial for the person getting the transplant. They need to know everything. Risks, benefits, what life will be like after. No sugarcoating.
Couldn't agree more. And don't forget about support too. For both sides, donor and recipient, this isn't just a one-time thing. It's a long journey. Having people there for you, family, friends, a good medical team, that makes all the difference.
So true. It's the mental and emotional side of it too, not just the physical recovery. Okay, as we wrap up, something to think about. We've seen the challenges, the amazing things happening in liver transplantation. What can WE do? How can we help create a system that's easier to access, fair for everyone, and puts patients and their families first? Something to ponder, right?
Absolutely. It's on all of us to make things better.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive, everyone. Until next time.